I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, making his standard Monday appearance on the program, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, which chronicles 1.5 Atletico games from the past week. We will not spend much time discussing Atletico's 2-0 home loss to Espanyol on Sunday. Rather, we will revel in their 1-0 victory over Arsenal from last Thursday, which secured a place in the Europa League final against Marseille on May 16th. We'll talk about a vintage Atletico battle centered on an incredible defensive performance and the imposing Diego Costa, who scored again against one of his favorite rivals in Arsene Wenger's Gunners. We'll also scratch the surface of that May 16 final in Lyon and where Atletico may be at that time in terms of health, in terms of mentality, even where they'll be in La Liga, with second place possibly out of their hands for these last 2 weeks. But before all that, a couple programming notes. Make sure to become a Colt Gennaro Chat Amigo. You can do that from as little as $1 a month if you want cool exclusives and rewards. Patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. The rewards will be getting another reboot over the summer, sooner rather than later. Patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. Also, if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please make sure to leave a rating and review, and subscribe and listen wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this. It's going down. We have 1.5 games to talk about.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. If you're expecting us to talk a lot about the Espanyol game, we're not.
No.
Yeah, no thank you. We are going to talk a lot about the Europa League, though, because that is what matters.
Yes, exactly. That's really the only interesting thing we have left.
We'll still do the whip around, though, because we are committed to the brand.
And we love the whip around.
We are still going to do the whip around. Let us start on Friday of match day 36, where Sevilla, under new management, in the form of Joaquin Caparrós, their old manager, they beat Real Sociedad 1-0 from an Eibar Banega penalty. On Saturday, Girona 1, Eibar 4. That is pretty much it for Girona, whose very slim hopes of making the top 7 took a pretty big hit as Eibar went to the TV and thrashed them. Athletic surprising 2-0 winners over Real Betis. Betis really don't have anything to play for. They're locked into a Europa League place, although we don't know if it'll be 5th or 6th yet. The Galician derby finished 1-1 between Celta and Depor, a late goal for Lucas Perez, splitting the spoils there at Baleros. And late game Saturday, Villarreal 1, Valencia 0. That's Valencia winless in 5 now, but they still clinch a place in next year's Champions League, despite the defeat.
But they'll have to play the horrible, terrible playoff.
Oh yeah, that... Wait, isn't next year the first year where the big leagues don't have to do that?
Oh, I don't know. Is that true?
It's next year or the year after. They might have to play the horrible, ugly, disgusting playoff.
Yeah, nobody wants to do that.
No, nobody does. They are winless in their last 5 with 3 defeats. But no matter, they have clinched top 4 anyway. On Sunday, Malaga already down. They lost 3-0 to Alaves. They're now just 20 points clear of safety.
No, just the 20.
Just the 20.
Hey, they have the least worst goal difference in the bottom 3.
That's an accomplishment.
I guess.
That's a thing. They've only conceded 56 goals.
Could be worse, but scoring 23, oof.
They've conceded the same number of goals as Betis have, but Betis are in 5th.
Well, there you have it.
That says it all. So Alaves won 3-0 at La Rosaleda. Las Palmas 0, Getafe 1. Getafe on a tear as they are making a late surge to get into the Europa League for next season. They're also Atletico's next opponents, in case you were wondering. They won 4 of their last 5.
Getafe and Burnley in the Europa League next year is going to be just death for everyone that has to play them.
I want that to be the final. You kidding?
That would be 0-0 for like 3 games in a row. It'd be like a 360-minute match, and it's just no goals.
Getafe, Burnley in the last 16. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Let's go. At least like 6 shots combined over both legs.
Yeah, exactly.
Ten yellow cards.
Each game, all the yellows.
Each game. So that happened at a very empty Estadio Gran Canaria. And finally, there was a Clásico Sunday night. It finished 2-2 between Barcelona and Real Madrid. A pretty good result for Atletico, especially considering the loss to Espanyol earlier in the day. The referee, Hernandez, was the standout in this game, as he made several bad calls that, although they didn't really impact how the game ended, they were still very bad calls.
Yeah, he missed a few key challenges and punished the ones that he shouldn't have.
Yeah,
so.
Bale should have been sent off, but Madrid should have also had a penalty after Jordi Alba stamped on Marcelo. So,
yeah, there's always going to be some quiet kicking and stamping in El Clasico. But, you know, this could have been a lot worse. I mean, a lot of these El Clasicos are way overhyped, but this one was actually somewhat entertaining.
Yeah, it was a very good game, even though there really wasn't anything to play for. The Monday night game is Leganés and Levante, battle of 16th versus 17th. I'm probably still going to watch it because I'm on summer vacation. So
yes, I'm not even sure, even if I was on summer vacation, if I watched that one. But fair play to you. Let me know how it goes.
There is one very important midweek game for those of us who still care about La Liga. I do. Sevilla hosting Real Madrid Wednesday night. If Madrid win that, they will jump Atletico into second.
Yeah, that'd be sucky.
So that is a game to watch, although La Liga doesn't so much matter for Atletico anymore, as evidenced by Sunday's loss to Espanyol.
Yeah, that was a we weren't really trying kind of match. Sort of was my take on it.
Yeah, I really just like can spend like 2 or 3 minutes on this game. It was awful. Simeone rotated. Griezmann didn't play. Saul and Gabby both came in off the bench. Vitolo left injured. That's probably the biggest takeaway from this game. And Vitolo got hurt. Although Atletico announced although it's a hamstring injury, they expect him to be ready for the Europa League final.
Yep. That's a relief. We did get to see Arona Sané, though, which was nice.
That was really good to see Sané get time. I thought Arona, he didn't really do a whole lot, but he didn't look lost.
Yep, very true. I thought he did all right. Kind of a weird one to get chucked into coming off the bench so early, but yeah, I thought he did well enough, and it was kind of that was probably the most interesting part of the match for me.
Yeah, and we had talked about last week, was it last week? Mm. Last week, about how Simeone should play the kids more, and so he played, Arona Sané for over an hour, which was good. Felipe started, but was coming back from 51 days off with his broken leg. He started and played 65 minutes because, of course, he did.
Yep, that's just the Simeone way.
The latest instance of Atletico's players not really being human.
The recovery's intense.
Felipe breaks his leg and comes back in less than 2 months. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, he wants to play in that Europa League final real bad.
Oh, yeah. Maybe the World Cup more, but the Europa League final as well.
that's true. But I guess there's less of a... I mean, he's not guaranteed to start for Brazil, so, he'll definitely play the Europa League if he's fit.
That's true.
I thought Lucas and Hosema did quite well. Obviously, Stefan Savage didn't.
Stefan Savage needs to not be in the team next year.
To be fair, I could tell what he was trying to do with the own goal.
Couldn't.
Yeah, no, I kind of get... I see he got caught in two minds. He was either trying to head it wide or head it over, but then did a combination of both, and that didn't work.
And it went into the back of the net, yes.
Yes, it was... Yeah, that was unfortunate.
That was the first goal Atletico have conceded at home since January 20th. Over 1,100 minutes without conceding.
He was also lucky that... I believe it was Leo Baptistão didn't score before he did. He made a pretty he got crossed up in the box pretty much, and Jan Oblak had to bail him out. But yeah, not a great game for Savage.
No, he was terrible. And Leo Baptistão did eventually get his goal. He loves a goal against Atletico.
Yes, he does.
As a former Atletico forward, he does love a goal against his old team. That's the second time in 3 years with two different teams he's scored against Atletico.
Still crazy. He's only 25.
He's only 25? God, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
Feels like he's 28.
Yeah, I know. It feels like he's been around forever.
Yeah, it does. But he was good. Gerard Moreno was really good. That was a really good pairing for them. Up top, Baptista and Moreno. Really hardworking pair.
Yeah, I thought Espanol were good. They've been... they haven't been as good this year as they were last year, obviously. But, you know, they still have a pretty solid team.
They have the new manager bounce as well since Kike Sanchez-Flores was terminated.
Yeah, that was a bit of a weird one. I mean, I get it. They're kind of down there near the bottom. But he did all right with them last year.
I thought they worked really hard. They were really organized in defense. Paulo Lopez didn't have a single difficult save to make. And after the game, you kind of saw... For the first time, Simeone really get frustrated about the situation here. I took it as kind of calling out the club for those sales in February. He said, you know, Gabby is 34, Godin is 32. Griezmann put in a huge effort against Arsenal on Thursday. What more do you want me to do? You know, we have very few players. He said that more than once. Somos muy pocos. We are very few. We have very few players.
And he's right, and it's something we've talked about a lot. It's always been interesting to sort of see what happened with those February sales to China. Clearly, Simeone wasn't super involved in that discussion.
No.
But, yeah, you can understand his frustration with having such a tiny squad.
I mean, Atletico have only 2 wins in the last 6, and it's really over these last 6 where you've seen the fatigue really start to settle in, starting with the game at Anoeta on April 19th, where Atletico got thrashed 3-0, and going up to now, this is where you've really seen... this is a tired team now. It's very tired. And there are still injuries to deal with. There were suspensions. Neither Costa nor Correa played on Sunday, and they are both very important players. Costa more than Correa, but still both important players. This is really not anything new. If you've been following Atletico the last few weeks, they're tired. It's been a long season with a pretty small squad. And they played a lot of minutes.
Yeah, if I was Simeone, I would play virtually none of the starters against Getafe if possible. It doesn't really matter. I mean, getting second place would be nice, but I just think with the Europa League 4 days after that, I just wouldn't risk it, given how tiny the squad is. I think he could go for big, big rotation away to Getafe.
Well, as big as he can. Well, I mean,
yeah.
Cholo complained about that as well, that, you know, our next league game, the Europa League final is 4 days after our next league game.
Yeah.
And that's not fair. Like, La Liga should have pushed that game against Getafe back to Friday.
Yeah, I think so. I think if they could have gotten it over with. But, yeah, it's frustrating. It seems weird how quickly this Europa League final has come upon us.
It's really, but, really strange that UEFA puts it in the middle of the week, you know, 10 days before the Champions League final. It's really strange why they do that. You can just have the Europa League final on a Friday or a Saturday, the Champions League final on a Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. Play them in the same week. I think that's a brainer.
Absolutely. I don't know why UEFA does it this way, but it doesn't really help anybody.
Yeah. UEFA does a lot of things that nobody can make sense of.
Yeah, don't we know it?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. So this is it was a bad loss. It was a bad game. But it would have hurt a lot more, I think, if Madrid had gone on to win El Clasico, which they did not. And it's really going to come down to the last two games to decide who finishes second. If Atletico win the Europa League, they're not going to care. Like, they literally Simeone might lace them up and go play against Eibar if they win the Europa League. Game is just it's not going to matter at all.
Yeah, I think so. I think maybe some of the older guys may get a run out, but you know, I'd love to see all the young guys get chucked out for Eibar and Getafe, but I don't expect it to happen, but I'd like to see it happen.
Against Getafe, I think Simeone might play a stronger team, at least from the start.
Yeah.
Because you want to make sure Costa's, you know, got the blood pumping a little bit. Griezmann didn't play, so he's rested, sort of. Correa,
ish.
I don't think anyone's fully rested at this point. I mean, Simeone has been so aggressive with this. I know it's driven him crazy. He had to take off Koke at halftime.
Yeah,
and if Simeone only does that when he has a gun to his head.
Yeah, and he's taken off Cook quite a lot in the second half of the season, which I think is a sign that he's played way too much.
He's had to be aggressive because he doesn't have really any depth.
Cook has played so many minutes this season, it's ridiculous.
No, Sowell has too. Sowell's pushing 3,000.
Yeah.
And just in the league alone, he's pushing 3,000.
Yeah. Oof, man. Oh god!
With Sal, it's a little better because Sal he's still young. He's 23. No, Koke's 26, going on 27, and he's just played. That's 4 more years of football. I know.
I would lose all of my money if I had to bet that Koke was older than Leo Baptistão. Yeah. There's no chance I would have thought that.
Wouldn't have believed it.
Yeah. But yeah. Koke, I mean, he's played a million minutes. He's probably he's trying to beat the appearance record. I get that, but good lord, man, you can take a few games off.
Yeah, Zimeli has been trying to give him that. Yeah, it's bad game. But I'd like to get the week off now in preparation for basically Marseille, but there is Getafe in the meantime.
So, yeah, pretty much. But we know what the focus is.
Yeah, the focus is on Europa League. Let's go back to last Thursday and talk about... Atletico 1, Arsenal 0. Wow. Great game. All about that. The first thing that came to my mind was, wow, Arsenal had a lot of the ball. Wow, Arsenal were in a lot of dangerous positions. Wow, Arsenal did very, very little.
Yeah.
Kind of creating that false sense of superiority.
Yeah, and for anyone that watches Arsenal with any regularity, you'd know that is quite a common occurrence. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Arsenal had a ton of the ball and did about squat with it.
One shot on target.
Yeah, and didn't really create any good chances, I didn't think. I didn't think they really deserved it if to score even once. So yeah, no, I think it was quite poor from Arsenal, and I think Atleti did an absolutely perfect, very professional job to close out this tie.
Yeah, the way just they handled Lacazette in the second leg compared to the first leg, just completely different. Lacazette, I don't even think Lacazette had a shot.
No, I don't think so. The one chance I remember didn't even end in a shot, but Monreal almost found him in the box early in the first half, and he was wide open, but the ball didn't come to him. But yeah, Lacazette was totally bullied. But you could sort of see how that would happen when you have four gigantic central defenders marking him for quite a lot of the time. So that, you know. But it was a very good game, I thought, by the whole team. I thought everyone put a shift in. Griezmann ran around with a bloody head for several minutes. That was fun.
Yes, an actual bloody head.
Yeah, Callum Chambers gave him the old heave-ho on the head, and he had blood gushing out of his head for like several minutes, and nobody seemed to care.
Least of which him.
Yeah, he didn't care. Mono Borgos definitely wouldn't have cared. He was like, oh, keep going, what's wrong?
But Simeone up in the stands is like, keep going.
Yeah, Simeone would need binoculars to see that, I think.
If he dies, he dies.
Yep. Griezmann wasn't too worried. But it was a great, it was a very good performance.
Then he went on to set up the only goal of the game from Diego Costa. Who else? Who else would score against Arsenal?
There was never any doubt that it was going
to
happen.
It had to be him. Why he came back. Not just to score against Arsenal, but to score these kinds of goals.
Yeah, absolutely. And if it is Arsenal, then the percentage chance he scores has just gone up because he damn well loves scoring against Arsenal. And it was a very Diego Costa kind of goal. And I thought it came at a crucial, crucial time. I think scoring just before halftime really, really knocked the wind out of Arsenal.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the worst ways for Arsenal to go into the half. Not that they were playing well, but going in goalless, you're like, okay, second half is going to be very fine margins. We can just sneak one in there. And then Costa scores, and it's like, oh, great, now we can only force extra time. Even that's if we score.
And the situation didn't really change. I mean, Arsenal still needed to score to be in it.
Right.
But I think it did a lot more outside of just the scoreline. I think that really hurt. I think Arsenal really, really, really needed to get into the half without conceding, and they didn't do it, and they ended up losing the tie. I expected a lot more in that second half from Arsenal, and there just really wasn't much. And I think Atleti totally strangled them. Even though they had the ball, Atleti knew exactly where to put them so that they couldn't do much damage.
Yeah, this is what I was... When this draw was confirmed, this is kind of what my initial thoughts were, that, okay, Arsenal are going to have a lot of the ball. Arsenal are going to have to try to break down a low block, and I don't know if Arsenal are going to be able to do it. And lo and behold, they didn't do it.
Yep, pretty much.
They had the lead for 20 out of 180 minutes.
Yeah, and I think it's the individual mistakes, which I think a lot of people could have seen coming from Arsenal. They were their downfall.
Right.
So the first leg, you have the mistake from Koscielny. Then the second leg, you have some fairly poor defending to let Diego Costa score.
Yeah.
But
I don't know what Bellerin was doing on the goal. He's one of the fastest players like in Europe, and Costa was beating him for pace. Not that Costa's slow by any means.
Yeah, was totally bizarre.
Yeah, Costa's not a slowpoke, but Bellerin was just behind the play the entire time, and Costa just shoved him off and scored.
Yep, pretty much, and that's kind of what Diego Costa does. It was a strange match. I was sort of expecting more from the second half. I mean, I was kind of hoping it would be somewhat closer, but it wasn't. But overall, I think Atleti are absolutely deserved to go through, without a doubt. I saw a lot of people, obviously, because I follow quite a few Arsenal people, saying that Arsenal were the better team, but I really don't see that over the two legs, or even in the second leg, or the first leg alone. I think Atleti totally dominated them.
That's a collective, oh, honey, for those Arsenal fans. Like, oh, you've never seen Atletico, have you, honey?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Nah, you haven't.
That's the thing. You think you're in control, and you're really, really not.
No, Atletico outshot them 15-7. Arsenal had one shot on target from a shot out of the box from Granit Xhaka.
Yeah, and that was about the size of it.
Yeah. By the way, you watch Arsenal more than I do, but Granit Xhaka's really, he didn't impress me at all over the two legs.
Yeah,
he didn't.
He's a bit of a weird one.
He didn't impress me at all.
Well, of the midfield three, I didn't think he was the worst. I thought that would be Jack Wilshere. But right. I think Granit Xhaka is – I think the problem is that he's played in the wrong position. He's certainly not a defensive midfielder. I think if you played him further forward, you might get something more out of him because he's a good passer and he can shoot from distance. But I just think if you're playing in defensive midfield, he has absolutely no defensive brain at all. I think actually if he went – and learned under Diego Simeone, he would be 20 times the player he is because he would actually know how to defend properly.
Also, why did Wenger wait till the 67th minute put Mkhitaryan on?
Well, another thing that you may not know if you don't watch Arsenal regularly, Arsene doesn't make substitutions until the 70th minute unless he has to. but yes, no, I totally agree. I think he should have made changes around the 50th minute, perhaps.
Yeah, halftime I put on Mkhitaryan.
Yeah, absolutely. I think even Alex Iwobi for Jack Wilshere wouldn't have been a bad idea.
Yeah, Iwobi was fit and didn't play.
That was weird.
Mkhitaryan is, he's only been there a few months, but he's possibly their most influential midfielder.
I mean, over the two legs, Arsene made one unforced substitution.
Yeah.
In two games.
None in the first leg, and then Chambers for Koscielny, because Koscielny only went and did his Achilles.
Yeah, well, that will happen.
I did feel bad for him, but at the same time...
Absolutely. No, it's gutting for him.
Yeah, but Felipe went and broke his leg, so I don't feel that bad for you.
Yeah, well, and it's not like this is a shock. I mean, Laurent Koscielny can't play more than one game in a week, because his Achilles is really terrible.
Yeah.
And now it's gone again.
Now it's gone. It's all gone, and that's probably going to cost him his next season.
Probably so. It wouldn't shock me if Arsenal let him go this summer, especially under new management.
Tomas, brilliant.
Brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant in the second half.
Yeah, it's just tremendous.
Every time I looked, he was making a big interception or a big pass or a big tackle, mostly just stepping in the way and intercepting the ball. I thought Tomas was amazing. For me, I think he was the mattress maker of the match.
He may have even been the mattress maker of the two legs, the whole tie in general.
Oh, yeah, because the first leg, he was just crucial in calming everything down after the red card.
Makeshift right back, had to slot right in, and they did a great job. He was excellent in the second leg. I think this time, and potentially the Europa League final, may bring more followers to the Church of Thomas Partey, which you and I have been strong, strong supporters of for many years.
We have been disciples of... At the Church of Thomas.
Oh, God, yes. Thomas is excellent. I absolutely love Thomas. And I hope next season he gets to play even more than he has this season. He's played a ton this year and totally won Simeone's confidence, and it's beautiful.
He gets to play in his preferred position next year, hopefully.
Yes, please, God. Hopefully. In the midfield, please.
Not that he can't play right back, because he was really good. Really, really good.
I mean, you could play him on the wing, you could play him up front, you could play him at center back. I wouldn't really trip wherever you have to play Thomas, like, but he should play a DM.
He's a proper Simeone player now.
Yeah.
And this was true earlier in the season, but he's a proper battler. Proper, you know, he's got the versatility Simeone needs. His work rate is off the charts. His footballing IQ is off the charts. He's just a smart, steady contributor.
He's one of the most well-rounded players I've seen in a while. I mean, the man can play anywhere.
Yeah. Can probably play him as striker. I mean, he takes good free kicks, too.
We know this is true. He does have a good strike on him. I forgot what he was. It was against Depor. He scored that free kick this year?
Yes, that saved us in that horrible game.
It's a terrible game, but yeah, that was beautiful, and I love that celebration for that goal. But yeah, it, great, great season for Thomas, and a great tie, and I hope he plays a big role in the final.
Yeah, Godin was fantastic too, staying with the back
line. Yes,
Godin was possibly his best game of the season. Everywhere at all times, making huge clearances, just winning the ball however he could. That was vintage Godin. And like I've said before, I think this might be one of the last times we really see that, because next season I think that Simeone goes and starts to phase him out.
You'd think so.
Because you have Jimenez and Lucas both ready to start every week.
Yeah. Yep. And I think if you need a backup center back, there is not too many better options in the world than Diego Godin.
Yeah. Yeah, bringing in Godin as your third center back, that's pretty decent.
That ain't bad.
No.
Especially when the inevitable injuries happen and whatnot. But, I would love to see Lucas and Josema starting together next season, even if it does mean... Godin doesn't get to play as much, but I'd just like to see sort of his career get preserved, because talking of people that have played a lot of minutes, Diego Godin has played a trillion over the last few seasons.
And people who have kind of bled for this team, who literally
more than once for Godin, that's for sure,
who has lost teeth playing for this team, who has broken his nose playing for this team. Diego Godin he's sacrificed, I think, to put it one way, would be a sacrifice. And you want to preserve that leadership, and whatever he has left, you want to keep that where it is as long as possible.
I think so. And we're getting kind of down to the last few of this sort of golden generation of Atletico players, I think, because probably maybe Gabby or Juan Fran, there are some big questions there for me about what happens with them. I know they both have extended contracts, but I don't know if both of them will continue to play. But it's sad. It's sad to see these guys get older, but the more we see the young guys coming up to replace them, the less painful it is, because we've got some really good replacements.
Gabby and Juan Fran, for me, I don't think either of them plays much at all next year.
Yeah, I just wonder, I mean... They're not going to play that much. I don't know how effective they'll be when they do play. I mean, I don't know really. I mean, unless they just want to keep playing, what's the point in sticking around? But, I'd almost like to see them just go under the coaching staff, just if they want to stay around. But, you know, if they can't get in enough replacements, it's good to have those guys around.
Yeah, which considering this club, it's likely that they will bring in the requisite replacements.
Yeah. Yeah, that is always important to remember.
And up front, this was the Costa and Griezmann experience. This was the kind of game that you bring them together for games like this, and Griezmann setting up the Costa goal. It was just perfect in a way. This is always what was supposed to happen.
It was. And I think really against Marseille, I think that combination may be even more potent, since it's a one-off match and there may need to be a couple goals scored. I hope we get to see a little bit more of that, because it has been wonderful this season, and we're not going to get to see it next year. More likely than not.
Yeah, more likely than not. This is gonna be it.
Yeah.
But
which is sad. It's been nice, but you know, these things happen.
It's fun while it lasts, for sure.
Yeah. And we have enjoyed it. We really have. Ever since Costa came in and started playing with Griezmann, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, when they've been able to play together, when they've both been healthy or not suspended.
Yeah, that's been the big kind of letdown, is that on more than one occasion, one or both of them has been injured or suspended.
That they haven't been able to play every single game together. But when they have played, they've been very, very good.
Yeah.
And, you know, if Griezmann does leave, if he does decide to go to Barcelona, then he'll know what he's doing. You know, he'll know that this is what he's leaving.
That's going to be, like, the slightest attacking quadruple in all of Europe, with Griezmann and Ousmane Dembele and Messi. I mean, none of those guys are particularly big dudes, so that'd be something. And Coutinho's not big either.
Who knows what Barca do with Dembele? They gotta loan him out if they bring in Griezmann. You think
it's so weird, because he was so good for Dortmund, but then this year it's just been so stop and go with injury stuff.
I mean, okay, I'll ask you this. Would you take Dembele on loan for a year? As part of the Griezmann operation?
Hell yeah, I would.
Why not? No option to buy, just a straight loan for a year.
Yeah, I think that'd be fine, because I think the reality is Atletico couldn't really afford a player that good to buy outright anyway at this point. Taking him on a loan a year to fill that gap that Griezmann will leave wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
You're saying Atletico can't buy a player for 140 million euros.
It's almost as if that might be the case.
Just like it.
But I think that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, really, because I think it'd be a benefit to the player, and I think it'd be a benefit to Atletico to have another winger, because this team is low on wingers right now, and Griezmann hasn't been that for a long time. I think that'd be a brilliant addition. Do I think it would happen? But, you know, it'd be cool. I think Dembele's great. He's just had some injury woes this year.
Would you take Andre Gomes in exchange for Antoine Griezmann?
No. Let him go to Tottenham.
It was like I was a flat no.
I'm good on that.
Paco Alcacer? Paco would be an interesting one.
That would be more interesting. We could use we don't need Andre Gomes, but Ousmane Dembele or Paco Alcacer we have more of a need for.
Yeah, Paco would be an interesting one. He's never really been a Barcelona striker. That's kind of been his issue.
I honestly forgot they still had him on the team.
Yeah,
and at times I forget he's like even there.
He's been there like 3 years now.
That's bizarre.
Isn't it bizarre?
I mean, he can't have played that many games. Some amount.
Yeah, this is the second year. This is the second year. He's played like 35 league games for them in 2 years. Something like that.
That's not much.
If my math is right. Yeah, 14 starts out of 35 league appearances.
Yeah. Yeah, well, a lot of sub appearances. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Barcelona are going to have to do some fiddling this summer if they're going to get their FFP in order. I mean, obviously they have all the Neymar money, but that's gone now.
Yeah, that's gone. They can't really use that as an excuse anymore when you buy Dembele and Coutinho.
Yeah, exactly. And then probably Antoine Griezmann. I mean, there you go. There's 300 million euros, conservatively estimated. So I don't know how they're going to do that. But hey, Ousmane Dembele, I'd like to see that happen.
We do have an update of sorts on the Griezmann situation, but we're saving that for the bonus pod.
Yes, so, yes, indeed.
If you are a Colchonero Chat amigo, you will get to hear that update. If you're not, well, you can always become one at patreon.com/Colchonero Chat from as little as $1 a month. Before we head out of here, let's do a little bit of opposition scouting on Marseille.
Yes, let's.
As in just 9 days' time, that's the Europa League final, Marseille and Atletico in Lyon. Basically, going to be a home game for Marseille, if you think about it.
Yeah, well, they'll have the added motivation of getting to potentially win the Europa League on their biggest rival's home pitch, which is always exciting.
And guess who the referee is?
Oh, God. Who is it?
Bjorn Kuipers.
I feel like I don't really know of any referees I do like, to be honest, but yeah.
That's, in case you don't know, that is the man who refereed the 2014 Champions League final. He played a really big role in giving it to Real Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was one of the
less said about that, the better.
One of the worst officiated Champions League finals I have ever watched.
And I'm not just saying that. And we've seen two pretty bad ones.
Yeah, and I'm not just saying that because I write about Atletico. I'm saying it because Kuipers is a terrible referee.
Yeah, not very good. So that'll be exciting.
Yeah,
some penalties.
He'll be refereeing. Maybe Simeone will actually fight him this time.
20 minutes added time.
Oh, yeah. How many minutes of added time will there be? 7? 9? 11? Who knows? We'll find out.
It depends if Atletico are winning or not. If they're not winning, then it's going to be like 30 seconds.
If they are winning, 30 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
He just goes right to extra time.
Yeah, we're going to extra time.
Atletico.
But wait, we're winning.
Atletico are 1-0 up, right? We're going extra time. I'm sorry, we're up 1-0. We're going extra time. Nope, we're going extra time. Simeone to the stands.
Yeah, that's probably how it's going to go. Hopefully not.
As long as we know it going in.
Yes. But Marseille, anyway, they're pretty good, huh?
Anyway, yes. They beat Nice 2-1 on Sunday afternoon. Valérie Germain and Dimitri Payet getting the goals for Marseille. Mario Balotelli got Nice's goal.
Yep, he's still a guy that's around.
Yeah, he's still a thing. Marseille have a lot of attacking talent. I think that's the thing that leaps out at you when looking at this team. Florian Thauvin has had a remarkable season. He's been ridiculously good. He has 20 goals and 10 assists in Ligue 1. Over 33 appearances. That's pretty good. Dimitri Payet is their captain, and he's still a very good player. Almost like when you escape the hellhole that is West Ham, you can really flourish.
Yeah, I remember a lot of West Ham fans saying, "We made you, Dimitri."
Yeah, not fam.
No. Dimitri, he's still quite good. Very scary player, I think. They have a lot of kind of dangerous wide men that's going to be, I think, a worry.
This is why I didn't want to see them over two legs, because they probably would have gotten an away goal. They are definitely the team that could have gotten an away goal and then gone home.
Don't really understand how Florian Thauvin is so out of his mind this season, given how bad he was for Newcastle. And I watched a lot of him play for Newcastle, and he was bad. But he's killing it for Marseille.
Yeah, so
absolutely killing it.
You have Thauvin, you have Payet, who leads Ligue 1 in assists also.
That's pretty beastly.
Marseille are fourth in the table. They are just, I think, 3 points off a second. 2 points off second. Lyon are in second. They're 2 points off them. So very possible Marseille are in the Champions League next year.
Yes. So from that point, they don't have as much of a thing. But they also have some – this is like the island of discarded toys or whatever it is. This like Costas Mitroglou and Clinton and Jay and Luis Gustavo. Where are they finding these dudes?
Jordan Amavi as well.
Oh, yeah. He's still around.
Yeah, he's had a good year around. For them.
Didn't he play for Aston Villa?
Yes. And now he is doing a little bit better than playing for Aston Villa.
Probably still trying to purge his mind from those couple seasons.
in the championship, yes.
Yes, absolutely. And getting horribly relegated, I'm sure. but it should be an interesting match. I don't think their defense is really has much to scream about, so Atleti may get a bit of joy there. But they do have Steve Mandanda, who's a good goalkeeper.
Yeah, Adil Rami is the starting center back for them.
Yeah, we've seen him a few times.
Adil Rami is not very good.
No, he is not. But yeah, he kept getting jobs at La Liga teams for a few years there.
Yeah, former Sevilla stalwart.
Yep. Wasn't he at Valencia too at some point?
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah. But, yeah, Marseille are a little soft in defense, but, man, do they have a good attack. They have a really, really good attack.
Yep, absolutely. So that should be a bit of a worry, but I think Atleti are absolutely the better team. But you never know what can happen in a one-off final refereed by Bjorn.
That's true. Yeah, the refereeing appointment makes me, like, irrationally nervous. But more likely than not, the best team is going to win that game.
Let's hope so.
Let's hope so. And Marseille did only just get to the final after that, the second leg against Salzburg. They only just got to this point. Went to extra time. Salzburg won 2-0 in the 90 minutes, and then Rolando in the 116th minute. Not Ronaldo, Rolando. Scoring off a corner that actually should never have been given. So you could argue that Marseille shouldn't even be in the final.
Yeah, I mean, I'd much rather be playing Salzburg, but, you know, I think that says a lot that they've struggled to get by this team. They struggled in the round before this a little. No, maybe not. I don't remember who they were playing. They were playing Lazio. No, they were fine. But
Marseille play. Who did Marseille play in the quarterfinal? Leipzig.
Oh, that's right.
They lost the first leg, then pounded them in the second leg.
That's right. That's right. And they've they've gotten past the Red Bull gauntlet.
Yeah. Yes, they have. They have.
I think we're better than both the Red Bulls, if I had to guess.
They have slain the Red Bull.
Maybe they'll be Red Bull Marseille next year. I'm sure their fans would appreciate that.
Is that how that works? You beat a Red Bull, you become one?
I'm sure they'd like to have some of the money.
I suppose that's how it works. But, Simeone, his touchline ban is still very much in force. He will be up in the stands for this one. Still a consequence of his sending off in the first leg against Arsenal. That touchline ban also extends into next season. So that would include the Super Cup if Atletico get there, and at least the first two games of the Champions League group stage.
Well, it wouldn't be Atletico if one or two of our players and or management were suspended the first two games of the season or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, it's happened before.
Oh, it certainly has. It certainly has. But yeah, it sucks for him. I mean, I'm sure he would give anything to be down on the touchline.
But he won't be. Mono Burgos will be coaching instead. So that's our little look ahead. Very much ahead, as Atletico still have a game to play against Getafe on Saturday. Marseille actually play on Friday, so they get a little extra rest. I don't think it matters that much. Marseille had to go through qualifying rounds to get to the final, so they've played more Europa League games than Atletico have.
Yep. So and they've also played extra time in the semi.
I don't think the extra rest, however much that's going to be, it less than a day. I don't really think it's going to matter.
No.
That much.
No, it's not that big of a margin, I don't think. No,
the best team is going to win the final.
Yeah, so let's hope for a good match.
Yeah, if Atletico are the best team, they're going to win it. If Marseille are the best team, they're going to win it. But that is our look ahead. That's in 9 days' time. We're going to have a bunch of coverage, believe you me. And yes, indeed. What else you got before we do the bonus pod?
I think that's all we got for this wonderful 1.5 games.
Yeah, we made a good pot of it, 40 minutes.
Yeah, not so bad. Not so bad. We breezed over the Espanyol thing. Which I would recommend everyone else do.
Let's do the sign-off message now. That's Rob Walker. You can follow him on Twitter at rwalk03. You can follow me, your host, Jeremy Barron, on Twitter at jbbarron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of the pod on your favorite platform. That includes Apple Podcasts. If you're there, please leave a rating and a review. And we will be back on Thursday with Renato Gonzalez. Until then, adios.